wash your hands. Close the door when you come inside. Well, you know, it is a beautiful day. Let's go down to the clipper ship and I'll take you for a ride.
Cindy Callett at the Saturday Light Brigade with a beautiful song called My Mom Said. And Jimmy Rogers did The Queen of My Heart. Doors just about ready to open to the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. And today, Museum Lab is also participating in Doors Open Pittsburgh. We are as well. And you can come by and see us. We are going to be here between now and 4 o'clock. Come see our brand new studios. You also can join us on May 19th as part of Remake Learning Days. 3 to 6 o'clock. There is a reservation link for Remake Learning Days and our event on May 19th. I'll post it coming up in our next hour on Facebook so you can find it and use that link. I've had a few off-air memories being shared about moms, including one from Dan in Schenectady, of all places, talking about his mother's ubiquitous counting to three, to one, two, three, three and a half, three and three quarters, and on you go, counting with ever-decreasing increments until you get maybe to 5 or 10. Fred in Crescent writes that his mother also did not have a driver's license nor knew how to drive. Like my mom, many years ago while on a family trip to camp, she did try to ride a mini bike. Bad idea. She drove into the bushes. We laughed. She got mad. Has many memories of his mom and misses her. Stay off of the mini bikes in heaven, he writes. My mom drove only one thing in her life, to my knowledge. And I'm not going to make the joke you think I'm going to make. She drove the working steam locomotive engine at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia that was on an internal track and moved. I never saw it, but she would describe it to me as moving about 10 feet forward or 10 feet backwards on a secured track, and it actually moved back and forth. So she said she always thought there was great irony in the fact that she did that as part of her work while not being a person with a driver's license. She's probably ahead of her time. A lot of people choosing not to drive these days. Coming up in our next hour, we have a Youth Takeover podcast that we would like to share with you. Youth talking about the importance of personalized learning as well as equitable learning. That will kick off the hour. We also hope to talk from some folks visiting today as we open our studio doors to you if you want to come down and say hello. And more acoustic music and family fun throughout. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a young one's dream of growing up to ride. On a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, no one could steer me right, but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my mama seemed to know what lay in store. In spite of all my Sunday learning toward the bad, I kept on turning till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleadings I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleadings I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
The Seldom Seen and Mama Tried at the Saturday Light Brigade. Welcome to this hour, and thank you for joining us for it. We're going to share with you some very talented youth in just a moment. And their talents, in this case, are discussion, analysis, and conversation. You'll hear them talking a little bit about equity and personalized learning.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
For the last 2 years, it's been our pleasure to be the producers and distributors of a podcast series called Remaking Tomorrow. It's a podcast about the future of learning. We're at the midpoint of season two right now, and hosts Greg Bear and Ryan Rizdeski are taking a well-deserved break. It's also Remake Learning Days starting on May 12th. So to give them a break and to honor the beginning of Remake Learning Days, and most of all, to honor Youth Voice, We have begun the first of multiple episodes of a series called Remaking Tomorrow, Youth Takeover Edition. And you're going to hear one of them. These are available wherever you look for podcasts, but I wanted to give you one, the sample, on the radio this morning. The students will introduce themselves, and you'll hear a lively discussion about learning from their perspectives. This is quite new. It was just put together within the last 10 days, and the rest speaks for itself. I hope you'll enjoy it.
You're listening to a Youth Takeover edition of the Remaking Tomorrow podcast, where teens host the program and welcome peer guests.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of learning. I'm Delina, this is Henry. This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning practices in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change. On today's episode, we'll be talking with three youth guests about how students should be supported through their education today and in the future. To start, let's meet our guests.
Hey, my name is Auda. I'm a junior from Fox Chapel High School.
My name is Roma Lattimore-Dallas, and I'm a senior from Westinghouse Arts Academy Charter School.
I'm Alex, and I'm a senior at Westinghouse Arts Academy, and I'm 18.
So the big picture idea we're talking about here is personalized learning. Would any of you care to define, in your own words, what personalized learning is for our listeners?
Probably learning that is just more willing to conform to what a student needs and not just generalized.
I would say that it's learning that accommodates to the specific characteristics of an individual that are otherwise ignored in standardized learning, like particularly when it comes to identity, disabilities, and other more niche educational needs.
I would say that personalized learning is essentially when you are able to learn in an environment and in a way that suits you and revolves around your needs and what can help you.
Following up on that, if you could go back in time and create a personalized learning experience for your young self, you know, what would you change? What would it be like?
I would have personalized my learning in a way where I was able to like be more social and be able to learn more hands-on and like physically with other people, because it would have been way better having something like ADHD where I kind of need to have a more physical environment on me to learn and absorb the information around me, because cyber learning never really did that for me.
I would probably go back and go to a smaller school like I go to currently and get more aid with like mental health issues and my physical disability, and just find something a little more accommodating than just your normal public high school that doesn't really care about singular students, but more just the generalized population.
I would have set out to find a curriculum that had a more diverse narrative. I feel like growing up, I was really stifled in the way that everything I learned was so conservative and came from a really Eurocentric perspective. And so I feel like it would have been really beneficial to me and the way that I perceive others growing up if I learned more about other marginalized perspectives early on.
And you specifically talked about two very different schooling experiences when you first started out. Would you like to talk about that a little
bit? That's right. I was born and raised in Mexico for a time period, but then I moved to South Texas when I was very young. And the curriculum between Pittsburgh and Texas is startlingly different. It's a lot more conservative over there, but predominantly speaking, the school that I grew up with had mainly Latino kids and Hispanic individuals, which meant that Mexican culture specifically was always integrated and infused in everything we did. There were no technical ESL programs because everyone already spoke Spanish, and the ones that we did have were very refined. Whereas over here in Pittsburgh, I find that not only are the accommodations to multilingual speakers lacking, but the way that people perceive Mexicans and Latino culture is very stereotypical in comparison to the authentic culture that I was exposed to growing up.
How do you think the schools here can better tailor to that?
They could start by diversifying the curriculum, most definitely. I just had a meeting for my school Spanish club, and they were trying to think of a Cinco de Mayo celebration. And they were suggesting all of these very stereotypical ideas using sombreros or pin the tail on the donkey games. And it was a really shallow look at what Mexican culture truly is. And I feel like if these kids were exposed to the richer sides of Mexican culture growing up, they would have learned to not necessarily view that culture with those stereotypes. not only is the way that they're taught about culture, but I feel like the people that they're exposed to who can also tell them about that culture, maybe hire more Latino educators, would also be really beneficial.
Roma, you talked about wanting more hands-on learning to adapt to your style of understanding things and taking in information. Yeah. Do you think that's a around-the-board change that a lot of schools need to make?
Yeah, a lot of schools, it's not like as hands-on. They'll like hand you work and they'll be expecting you to do it, but you won't get like a more of a demonstration, or you'll have teachers in the school who are there for like the payment and don't actually know what they're doing, so they can't display it. Kids are not given this hands-on like option to explore those topics or explore the lesson in a different way. So they end up just kind of procrastinating or not doing anything because they understand that in a different way and they aren't given time to process it in that way.
Do you think that there should be more resources given to teachers to better do that? Or do you think they should be trained better to accommodate that?
I would say both, honestly. They definitely need better training. We need teachers who actually know how to support kids who need more hands-on learning, kids who need things explained more explicitly to them. And we also need teachers who just in general know what they're doing to go through more when you're hiring a teacher and to give those teachers more resources to deal with, even if they aren't that trained in that area. Either way, if someone's educating the children of the future, I feel like they should be able to properly teach them so they know what they're doing in the future.
Right. Alex, I think you mentioned that a thing that impacted your educational experience was physical disability. Do you want to expand on that at all?
Yeah. So my physical disability kind of led to more issues with schooling later on. But like mental disability was a very big thing for me growing up. And I switched from two different schools due to some family issues. And they were not very accommodating. Dealing with kids who had been through traumatic experiences and were kind of trying to learn how to be people, let alone like having to learn and grow as an individual, I got bulldozed by the system and lost within it. I found that if you were not what they needed you to be immediately, and if you were not willing to work with them and do whatever they asked, that they just were not going to be willing to help, at least in public school.
What would you say, you know, to someone who might be in that same situation? How would you go about helping them get through that?
I found the best solution for me was to find a different school that was based on worrying about its students rather than just you go to a public school because you have to. And I found a school that you like auditioned for that was still free and I could have arts programs as well. And to just really do as much as you can to get your school board to listen to you. It's really difficult to do, but if you make enough noise, something has to happen. And if it doesn't, there are so many good alternative learning things. It might take a little bit to find, but I'm sure everyone can find something.
It's really nice to hear you advocating for taking an active role in working for yourself and for people who have similar problems to you. What would you say is something that across the board needs to change for schools to better accommodate people suffering from your specific issues? Do we need better mental support on staff? Do we need teachers trained to deal with different kind of abilities and disabilities and students with troubled lives at home?
I think that generally children need to be more educated about diverse communities. I got bullied a lot for being queer, and there was no education on that, and it just created a big problem. So I think if children were taught about queer identities and what we as people really are, that would help a lot. And having staff that don't have a very large stigma about children with learning disabilities or like just mental health issues in general and know how to help a kid if they need extra help or time with projects or whatever it is, they have to be able to adapt to that and be willing to give extensions or give extra help, because I've found so many teachers and just school boards in general just are not interested in the kids that do need that extra help.
So I'm sure you're familiar, you know, with 504s and stuff like that. Do you think that those should be more integrated into the general learning, or do you think that the, you know, the process to get one should be a lot easier? I know that it took a couple of years for me to get mine, and do you think it would be beneficial to make that easier to achieve?
Yeah, I think it would be very helpful. A big thing is you have, as a child, a young child specifically, you need your parents to do everything. And it was so much easier to get information about how to get a 504 or how to contact teachers about stuff like this. I think it would help a lot because parents just, like, don't know how to do it and kids don't know how to do it. It should just be integrated into normal life. It shouldn't be this, like, big thing that you have to go out of the way to set up and deal with.
Do you want to talk about what a 504 is and the process of getting one, you know, for anyone interested?
So as far as I know, a 504, it's like a specialized learning program to help you get special accommodations through teachers and schooling. I know my personal 504 plan when I was like in middle school was I could leave class if I got overly anxious and I had extensions on assignments and stuff like that. You commonly have to go through like a guidance counselor or sometimes it's a principal. It's a higher up. It's not just your teachers. And they have a formal paperwork they go through to set up. I think it's a legal thing that they set up.
Yeah.
So it's normally something you have to go through a lot of people to get.
And there's also, you know, you have your IEPs and your GIEPs as well, which do similar. So for anybody in the gifted program, at least here in Pittsburgh, you automatically have a GIEP that you can add and subtract.
Another big word we're covering is we want to talk about equity as it relates to schools and education and learning. Does anyone want to talk about what that means to them, the word equity?
What equity means to me is essentially having a fair and just school. Having a school that responds to the needs of the people in the school, the students, accordingly, and treats all matters that happen, like issues that come up in the school, fairly instead of brushing them under the rug like a lot of schools do.
To me, what equity means is the ability to be able to address certain issues or, in general, accommodate to individuals' learning in a way that is both fair and yet individualized to that specific person. It's really common to assume that equitable learning means that it is equal and that it is the same for everybody, but the reality is that given the school that you go to, given who you are as an individual, you will not have had the same quality of learning if you were given the same treatment as everybody else. But when you are cared for and when you are accommodated for as an individual and catered to your own distinctive needs, that is when it is equitable.
I think you bring up a good point about the whole equality versus equity, because there is a difference between the two.
And I think it's so common for people, especially a lot of, you know, critics of the educational system, to be very prone to saying like, oh, well, if we just make sure that everyone is allocated the same resources and everything will be all right and our educational systems will be just. But the reality is that what about the kids who already have these accommodations, who are still suffering and who still don't have precisely what they need to thrive in that given moment, you know?
And that is the big difference between equity and equality, that everyone has those different needs. And even besides more or less need for support, there is just unique, particular demands that come from individual students.
And in my opinion, that's what makes for an equitable learning environment. I can't really speak for like specific trainings or specific protocols, but what I can say is that the one factor that will always make an unequivocal difference is having an open mind and being able to adapt to whether it's policies, whether it's teaching styles. If you are capable of being open-minded to make that difference and to accommodate to that uniqueness, that is when it'll be equitable.
To a similar point, do you think that the entire system is sort of squashing teachers in their ability to do that? Or do you think that teachers could do better? Or do you think it's a system thing?
I think it's honestly the system, because you'll hear so many stories of it every single day, how teachers quit regularly because of unfair wages, especially given COVID-19, how many have been stifled. I do believe it's also perhaps the teachers as well. I don't think it's fair to say that it's unequivocally the fault of the system or the teachers, because there are definitely individuals out there who do teach who have their own prejudices and biases that they will not work through. But I definitely do believe that when you are working for a system that does not accommodate to you, even as a teacher, you'll find yourself unwilling to or incapable of making these differences.
COVID-19 has also sort of exacerbated what we kind of addressed as like a lack of both resources and just the literal physical ability to manage teaching students in a way that is personalized and equitable and tailored to each individual.
Yeah, because the learning programs in general in a generalized system are already so messy. Going from virtual, some schools are, but then they're not going virtual, they're doing integrated learning, and then maybe they are going in person, but we don't really know because of COVID mandates. That in and of itself is already difficult. And imagine the added strain of having to accommodate for all of these new factors and creating equitable learning. It's hard. It's a very difficult undertaking.
OK, Okay, so we talked about equity, and we talked about how students' personal backgrounds and just the quirks of themselves affect what kind of needs they have as students. What would you do, or what changes would you make to make sure that you and your peers who feel like they've been left behind by the current system got incorporated and felt like they belonged?
Honestly, I would work on how students in the schools support each other. When you have students in the schools who aren't being taught properly by those educators, and then these same students come and harass others for things like being queer or having disabilities or just being different in general or having different interests, you get this thing where it starts to intervene with actual learning, and I feel like that could really be improved on by giving people more supplies to work with in the way of how we educate our youth.
I took what you said sort of like, you know, helping other students. Do you think that there could be more done from the school's part on educating the students to help to like...
to help each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely say yes, because as myself, I'm multi-ethnic. I found that, like, looking at education of, like, Black culture, for example, in curriculums is really poor, and I feel like that could be more improved, better represented.
Specifically when it comes to the administration, for them to have a more open mind and for them to be willing to listen to marginalized voices and have a system, whether it be through an organization that encourages diversity or through regular board meetings that integrate these sorts of conversation topics, being able to listen to the specific needs of these individuals on the basis of gender or orientation or disability, that would make a world of difference because it would be a direct network for the system to focus on the needs of the students based on what they're directly told.
My school recently has been actually trying to do something similar to this. The Black Student Union at my school has been like working very close with the admin, and they've been just trying to talk about what they're dealing with, what they're facing, what the student body as a whole is facing, and just trying to create conversation between the two for change, because I think there is a very large disconnect between an admin and a student. It's a little hard to get like everyone's feelings and needs on that grand scale. So working with the organizations within the school, like the Black Student Union, or if the school has like a Gay Straight Alliance or anything like that, working with those people directly at those schools, I think would be a really good way to improve that communication and getting students' needs met.
Do you folks have any advice for students who feel marginalized by their current school system, feel left behind or not good enough because of the way they are functioning in a less personalized, more standardized education?
I think at its base, it is the teacher's jobs and the admin's jobs to teach you. But to some extent, you do have to take control of your own education. You have to decide if you're okay with what's being taught to you and what's going on. And if you're not, you can make an issue with it. You can cause a fuss. You can get people on board with you to help. It does not have to be stagnant. It doesn't have to be a bad situation where you're being discriminated against or like not being taught properly. And if they don't listen to you, you can keep bringing it higher, but you have to take charge of your own education.
I feel like the unfortunate reality is that so many students feel this way in one campus. Finding or having the means to create a support system where you can refine it and create perhaps like an organization like we were talking about, like the GSA or the Black Student Union, is super important, but more so because you feel less alone in that connection that you build with these people.
Honestly, use your voice. Using your voice and gathering yourself a support system of people who can help uplift your voice is how you can get that voice heard, because ultimately we're still going to have problems. These issues can't just be entirely purged to make a utopia, because something will always be wrong. But you can always use your voice, come together with other people of marginalized backgrounds to uplift and help each other.
What is one thing that, you know, your parents or educators can do to support each individual learner?
Listen, no doubt, because it starts there. You know, there's so much you can promise and there's so much you can say like on a technical level, but frankly, it all starts with being able to go into a conversation, start a conversation, and work your way from there, truly.
I'm going to agree with that and go off of that and say be understanding. When you're listening to someone, you should always be understanding to what they're saying and their experiences so you can improve upon yourself and what you're doing, especially if you're an educator.
I think teachers presenting themselves as being open and being personal with every student, at least a little bit, like knowing the smallest bit about them other than just their name, and like having a space where they feel like they can come and talk to you as a teacher and express concern, or just having a closer environment that doesn't feel so like sterile and business-like, just not being so distanced between the student and the teacher and the admin.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for coming.
Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning, a Pittsburgh-based network of people and organization that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning practices in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change. Learn more at remakelearning.org.
You can subscribe to the Remaking Tomorrow podcast wherever you look for podcasts. You can hear that one, and you take over episodes throughout the coming weeks. There will be another one released on Tuesday, and then another on Thursday. And you can also catch all of the Remaking Tomorrow episodes there. We're proud to have those produced here in our studios. Today, we have an open house. It's our brand new 3,500 square foot youth media center. You can see our studios and you can take a look. Here come some people. Come on in and have a seat so we can say hello. This is fun. We haven't had an open house in a long time. Have a seat. And let me adjust this microphone for you a little bit. In fact, Tad is coming here. He's going to help me do that. But what is your name?
I'm Mila.
Hi. You can put your headphones on. You'll enjoy wearing headphones, I think. Tad, thank you. Tad Whistle is here coordinating. And come a little bit closer. Is it too loud in there? Can you hear me in your head?
Yeah, I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, Mila, how do you spell Mila?
M-I-L-A.
And how old are you?
I'm 11.
And where do you go to school?
Me and Aussie go to Falk.
How nice to meet you. I know Falk School. I've been there before. Tell me your name.
I'm Aussie.
And how do you spell Aussie?
A-S-H-I.
Very nice names. Are you two, are you sisters?
No.
Are you best friends?
Yeah.
I thought you might be best friends. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Yeah.
Fifth. What are you doing now that you, I'll ask each of you, that you really, really like doing in school? Is there something you're learning about that you really enjoy?
We're doing an project where we research and then write papers.
What do you research?
Well, we each have a different topic. I'm researching Eastern cottontails, so I like doing that.
What is an Eastern cottontail?
It's a type of bunny.
That's what I thought. Are they the kind that we see here?
Yeah, they're the most common type of backyard bunny.
There's a bunny that I see every day when I'm on my way here. I think it's the same one, I'm pretty sure. Can you tell one bunny from another when you look outside?
Yeah, sometimes.
I kind of can. I feel like I can. What's your research topic, Mila?
Modern medical technology. And so I was doing a little bit of online research for that, but it was kind of hard to find articles I understood. That was a thing for me.
I have that problem too, I think. Is there a technology that you're curious about?
I like learning about prosthetics. Prosthetics are fun to learn about.
Interesting. Do you know anybody who has one?
No.
They've made a lot of advancement. Like, what do you like about them, or what are you curious about knowing more about?
I think it's cool how normal it can feel even if you're disabled. Like, all the advancements they've made just are really they're really amazing. They have prosthetics that can feel, and they send like signals to your brain. So like even when your prosthetic's touching something, you'll be able to feel it.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about those things. Have you either of you thought about what you might want to do when you're older?
Yeah, I kind of want to be a writer or a therapist.
How come?
I just really like writing, and I like using word choice, and I also like dealing with feelings and things.
Well, that's a good combination for those things. What about you?
I thought it'd be fun to do some animation. I like working. I'm not very good at it yet. I've tried a few apps, and I like sort of doodling frame by frame.
Yeah, I haven't tried animation, but I think I would enjoy it too. There is all sorts of, we have all sorts of programs. I don't know if you've had a chance to tour our Youth Media Center yet, but Deanna and Tad and Alexis are out there. They might be able to show you some of the things that we have there today. Now, when you go to Falk School, you might live just about anywhere. Do you two live close to each other?
Yeah.
Do you live in Oakland, or what community do you live in?
I live in Squirrel Hill. I don't know where.
But Squirrel Hill's close enough. Do you live there too?
I live really close to Squirrel Hill. You could call where I live Squirrel Hill, but it's really close to Mellon Park where I live.
Sounds good. Do you want to play a game?
Sure.
Let's think of animals that start with the letter P. Should we involve who are these people?
Oh, those are my parents.
Should we get them on the radio too? What do you think?
Do you want to? Sure.
Let's get them. We have these extra microphones. So these are Mila's parents here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
Oh, Ashi's.
These are Ashi's parents. Yeah. Thank you. Oopsie. I was talking before about how one person's mother can seem like another person's, like your own mom sometimes.
Once at camp, we tried to play this thing where at the end of the year we would tell everybody we're cousins.
It kind of worked.
It kind of did.
That's kind of fun. With masks, you can tell people you're twins because they can only see half of your face.
My little brothers are actually twins.
Really?
And for the first half of the year they were at Falk, no one could tell them, actually no one at the school could tell them apart.
Wow.
Sometimes that included me, which I'm still very embarrassed about, because with the mask on, you can't really see the rest of their face.
It's hard. You can't see their expressions or characteristics. How old are they now?
They're 5 years old. They're going to turn 6 in a few weeks.
What are their names?
Lev, L-E-V, and Kieran, K-I-R-A-N.
Lev and Kieran. So you're K-L and M.
Yeah.
Your names. K-L and M. There isn't an A through J, is there?
Mm-mm.
You don't? Okay. I was just checking. Okay, so we're going to name animals that start... Oh, let's meet your parents. Or these are your parents.
Yep.
Hi. What's your name?
Carissa.
Nice to meet you.
Nick.
And your kids. I'm going to call them both your kids. You're doing a great job. Are your parents here?
Oh, my parents aren't here.
But I'm sure you do this all the time, right?
Yeah.
You just have some fun. So we're going to name animals that start with the letter P. And do you want to start? And we'll just go around, and we're going to see if we can come up with 20 different animals.
Wow.
Which means we're going to have to go around 4 times to do that.
Okay.
But I think we can do it. So just starting with the letter P.
Platypus.
I'm going to do that.
Did she take your platypus?
It's the only animal I can think of on the spot.
That's okay. That's a good one. That's one.
I have no idea. A pig?
There we go. That's two. I can give hints sometimes.
Penguin.
Penguin is 3.
Partridge?
4.
Peacock.
That's 5.
Pug?
It counts.
Six. That counts.
Porcupine.
Seven.
Puppy.
Eight.
Oh my god. I'm so stuck.
I can think of another bird.
Oh, parrot.
That's nine. I can think of another bird.
Parakeet?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Oh,
that's,
my God.
That's 10. We're halfway there already. Halfway.
Porpoise.
That's 11.
Pigeon?
12. That's another bird.
Oh, my gosh.
We're looking for animals. I can think of something else in the water. A porpoise seems kind of nice and friendly. This is something in the water that you probably wouldn't want to get your hand very close to.
Oh.
It's got sharp teeth. I'll give you a hint. It starts with a P, and it's an animal.
What?
I'll bet one of the adults knows maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Piranha?
Piranha.
Oh, my God.
So are we up to 12? I think that's 12. So we just need 8 more animals starting with the letter P.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can think of one you can ride.
Oh, pony?
A pony?
Yes.
For some reason, I was thinking of a pentagon.
Yes.
So we have seven more to come up with now. 7 animals starting with P. The nice, pretty music kind of helps you think, you know. You can just sort of let that play a little bit. This one's hard. This one, it's a cat. It's a member of the feline family. You're at the Falk School and...
Panther?
Yes.
wait, pygmy goat? Does that count?
What's that?
Pygmy goat?
A pygmy goat, absolutely.
I don't know. I think so.
Absolutely. If there isn't one, there is one now. So that leaves us, we're down to 5 more animals starting with P.
Okay.
We've come up with 15. There's another animal, it's kind of like a panther, and it's a brand of shoes, too.
Puma?
Yes.
How are she...
I didn't mean to sound so surprised. I'm sorry, but that was really good. Puma. So now we're down to 4. Mm. 4 animals starting with the letter P. This one's hard. It's a dinosaur.
Oh.
It doesn't.
Pterodactyl.
Yes. Now we need 3 more.
And what about the one that pretends to be dead?
Oh, a possum?
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. I didn't think of that one. Oh,
how
awesome.
How do you guys come up with these so easily? I'm so stuck right now.
Me too.
Okay, we're down to 2 more, and we've done it. 2 more animals starting with P. Pythagoras, no. Piglet's kind of silly. We can't. Oh, but we could count this one. There's a book about him. And actually, there's a character named Piglet in the book.
Oh.
But this is the name of another character who would be unique unto himself.
Piggy?
This character likes honey a lot.
Oh. Pooh Bear?
Pooh Bear. That's what I was thinking of. That counts.
Sure.
And now we just need 1 more. It's down to our... We better make it a good one.
Gosh.
Our final animal. I thought of one. Or did you?
No.
Wait,
I have one that slithers.
A python?
Yes.
How?
Wow. So do the two of you have any pets?
Well, I have 3 fish.
Did you name them?
Yes.
What are their names?
Well, technically Mila named one of them.
Yay!
Ooh.
They're named Flippy. She named that
Yay!
One. I'm named Dosa. My friend Simone named Pieface, but Pieface died.
Aww.
And then my friend Ella
named... Sometime we're going to have a funeral for Pieface.
Yes. And my friend Ella named Paper.
Paper. So, Paper... What was the one you named?
Flippy.
Flippy. Paper and Flippy. And
Dosa.
Dosa. And if you died again?
Pie Face.
Pie Face. You should have a funeral for Pie Face. This is really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're here today, and I hope you get a chance to look around some more. Do you have any questions about all these things that you see in here? Mm-hmm. I don't think I...
Wait, here.
Oh.
When did you guys start the whole thing where you were recording? When did you start recording?
Oh, well, we've been on the air since 6 o'clock this morning. Anybody? Whoa. Was anybody up at 6 in the morning? Because we're here every...
I'm not a morning person. No. I'm the kind of person who wakes up at 10 and then is still grumpy.
I would probably be super grumpy.
Yeah. Well, we're here every Saturday, so I could call you at home to get you up so you would be listening. Wouldn't that be fun? And we could do games like this. We could do it from home. You could call and go on the radio from home.
I'd be so grumpy.
I'd be not as grumpy.
Be forewarned.
I can understand that. What time does school start?
Like, we're supposed to... people get at school, like, the doors are open at school at, like, 8.
Anytime from 8 to, 9 is what I tell myself because I'm late every day.
Are you going to be one of these people that sets the time on their phone back, like, to make sure you're on time? I know people that do that.
Well,
they
smart.
Pretend it's a different time than it really is.
I'm the
is.
Kind of person who does that and then ignores it.
Understood. Let's do one more thing. You want to do one more thing while we're together? Do you know any good jokes, either of you?
I have this one dad joke about dad jokes.
I have one about pencils.
Okay.
Okay. How do you know when a joke is a dad joke?
How do you know when a joke, let me think, is a dad joke? It pops, no.
When a dad tells it?
Well, yes, but when the punchline is apparent.
I like it. We need you here every week. I like it.
Oh, you told me that one. Like, three times.
No, it's because I know. It's the only joke I know.
When the punchline is apparent. The only joke I know is why couldn't the skeleton cross the road?
Something to do with mummies.
Because he didn't have any guts.
Oh my God.
What's your joke about the pencil?
Well, I made up one when I was like 3. It's, where do you get the best pencils?
Where?
And or pens.
Where do you get the best? I like a girl that uses and or. Very nice. I like you too. I like both of you. But, you know, you don't hear and or much until you're like 30. I like this. Where do you get the best pencils and or pens?
I'm thinking about that. I'm trying to do plays on the word stationery.
I think I might know. Would it be Rite Aid?
No.
But do you get it?
Right? That's good.
Rite Aid?
Rite Aid is actually like less than a minute away from her house.
Yes.
They're ubiquitous. You can look that up.
That was related, but I said it.
Yes, ubiquitous, meaning omnipresent, everywhere. Okay, so where? I can't wait to hear the answer.
Pennsylvania.
Yay!
How did I not know that?
When I was 3, I didn't know that Rite Aid existed.
You made that up when you were 3?
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, you just made me think of a song that actually, see, Ricky is nodding her head. She thought the same thing. That's because we're married, we can read each other's minds. Believe it or not, I have a song that says in it, pencils come from Pennsylvania. So we'll play that song in a minute. But is there anything else you guys would like to say? It's really fun to have you here.
Well, I just had one question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is that timer looking like?
Oh, very good question. This is the clock, because one of the most important things when you're live on the radio is knowing what time it is. There's another one in there that I can see. See the red numbers?
Oh, yeah.
And they're exactly the same, 56, 57, 58. And there's one here you can't see, but you can come around and see. And they're all synchronized.
Do you guys have, like, limited time on the radio, like a specific window?
We're on, that's a great question. We're on from 6 to noon. 6, remember 6 we were talking about?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
grumpy time. 6 a.m. to noon. So, and some of our stations come and go, so we have to be prepared to end segments on time. So, because if we didn't, they would begin kind of like this. Now, to be here with you today, they'd begin like in the middle of a word, which wouldn't be good.
Oh, yes.
They'd hear moles beginning with the letter P.
I've had lots of recording mishaps when I think it's timed perfectly, and then it's not, and I get so frustrated because it always gets cut off.
Yeah. I can have that happen, too. Well, I'm going to play this special song for you, and thank you for coming. Nice to have all of you here today.
Hey. Thank you. Every state has something its Rotary Club can boast of. Some product that the state produces the most of. Rhode Island is little, but oh my, it has a product anyone would buy. Copper comes from Arizona. Peaches come from Georgia. And lobsters come from Maine. The wheat fields are the sweet fields of Nebraska. And Kansas gets bonanzas from the grain. Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky. Ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue. And you come from Rhode Island. And little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Now cotton comes from Louisiana, gophers from Montana, and spuds from Idaho. They plow land in the cowland of Missouri, where most beef meant for roast beef seems to grow. Grand Canyons come from Colorado, gold comes from Nevada, divorces also do. And you come from Rhode Island. Little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Pencils come from Pennsylvania, vests from West Virginia, and tents from Tennessee. They know mink where they grow mink in Wyoming. A camp chair in New Hampshire, that's for me. And minnows come from Minnesota. Coats come from Dakota. So why should you be blue? For you come from Rhode Island. Don't let them ride Rhode Island. It's famous for you.
Welcome. Welcome aboard the family bus. Step on up and ride with us.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. They go round and round. They go round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round. All through the town. The wipers on the bus go back and forth. They go back and forth. They go back and forth. The wipers on the bus go back and forth. All through the town.
The doors.
The doors on the bus go open and shut. They go open and shut. They go open and shut. The doors on the bus go open and shut. All through the town.
The driver.
The driver on the bus says, move on back. He says, move on back. He says, move on back. The driver on the bus says, move on back. All through the town. The kids on the bus bounce up and down. They bounce up and down. They bounce up and down. The kids on the bus bounce up and down. All through the town.
The baby.
The baby on the bus goes where, 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 where. Don't cry, baby.
The baby
on the bus goes where, where. All through the town.
The mama.
The mama on the bus goes hush, 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 hush. The mama on the bus goes hush, hush. All through the town.
The daddy.
The daddy on the bus says, I love you, I love you,
and I love you too.
The daddy on the bus says, I love you, all through the town.
The wheels.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. They go round and round. They go round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round. All through the wheels on the bus go round and round. They go round and round. They go round, 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 round. The wheels on the bus go round through the town.
And where are we going?
All through the town.
Let's drive.
All through the ba-doo, 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 ba-doo. All through the town.
Open house day today at the Saturday Light Brigade. Our brand new youth media center is open. And a few moments ago, you heard the very reason that we created it. Didn't those two girls from Falk School sound great? And we have more folks coming by. We're going to be here until 4 o'clock today. We'll be on the air until noon. So come on by. Tad, Alexis, and Deanna are here, along with Ricky and me. I told Claire some time ago that I would send out Happy Mother's Day greetings to wife Jane, who is a great mom. Jane, Happy Mother's Day. And my apology for the delay. As we were having fun thinking of animals starting with the letter P, little did I know that we had some folks playing along off the air with us. Mick from St. Clair had Persian lamb, pheasant, pilot fish, and said, kids can't have all the fun. Thank you, Mick. And he also mentioned partridge. And ptarmigan, perch, porgy, and panda. And Ruth mentioned puma. Oh, and Mick also mentioned pollywog. And peregrine falcon, poodle, pterodactyl, and puma. There, I think we're now all up to date. 412-200-5975 if you would like to say hello on the radio. And we continue to be here. I wanted to play to you something remarkable. We have been working with Remake Learning Youth Ambassadors all summer long. Or not all summer long, all month long. It's not summer yet. Last April. Can I start again, Ricky? I want to share something remarkable with you. We have been working with Remake Learning Youth Ambassadors for about 4 weeks, and they've been creating promos for many of the events that are going to be part of Remake Learning Days, which officially kicks off in just 5 days. I wanted to share some of them with you. Here's one. Jane is a junior at Chartiers Valley.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Stay gold, pony boy, stay gold. I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship. Hi, I'm Jane Winsheimer, a junior at Chartiers Valley High School and a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador. Remake Learning Days 2022 starts soon, and I'm excited to be attending the Pittsburgh Greater Festival of Books on May 14th. This festival is being hosted in 6 different locations, which can be found at pittsburghbookfestival.org. And make sure you check out the website, because different events have different locations. As a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador, I'll be following up with a story after the event, and maybe by then I'll know more about where writers get their inspiration, and even how to write my name in Braille. The Greater Pittsburgh Festival of Books is one of hundreds of free events during Remake Learning Days 2022 in Southwestern PA, which is being hosted from May 12th to May 23rd. And you can find more information on the website, remakelearningdays.org.
Isn't that a nice one? There are many of them. I'm going to play you one more just to give you a sample of how varied the events are and how great our youth ambassadors have been. This is Morgan McCrae talking about Fab Lab at Carnegie Science Center.
This is Morgan McCrae, a student at Oakland Catholic High School and a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador. Remake Learning Days 2022 starts soon, and I hope you'll join me at the Fab Lab 101 hosted by Fab Lab Carnegie Science Center on May 20th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. The Fab Lab 101 workshop is designed for students and educators who want to understand the basics of maker technology, such as laser cutting, 3D printing, and vinyl cutting. As the Remake Learning Youth Ambassador, I'll be following up with a story recapping the event. I hope that I get some hands-on experience with laser cutting. To learn more about Fab Lab Carnegie Science Center, please visit carnegiesciencecenter.org/stem-center/fablab. The Fab Lab 101 workshop is just one of hundreds of free events running during Southwestern Pennsylvania's Remake Learning Days celebration from May 12th to May 23rd. Learn more at remakelearningdays.org.
We'll do just one more while we have a minute to do it. Take a listen now to another SLB superstar. Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador Lance Wilhelm.
I'm Lance Wilhelm, a senior at Fox Chapel Area High School and a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador. Remake Learning Days 2022 starts next month, so I hope you'll join me at the WQED Steeltown Digital Media Creation Night from 6 to 8 p.m. on May 16th at 1300 Western Avenue. Digital Media Creation Night will give middle and high school students a hands-on filmmaking experience at Pittsburgh Community Television's state-of-the-art broadcast studios. As a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador, I'll be following up with a recap of the event as I explore how WQED Steeltown hopes to create a vibrant entertainment industry in southwestern PA through educating future filmmaking youth. To learn more about WQED Steeltown, visit steeltown.org. Digital Media Creation Night is just one of the hundreds of events you can attend during Southwestern PA's Remake Learning Days celebration from May 12th to May 23rd. Learn more at remakelearningdays.org.
A big welcome to WSAJ FM Groove City. It's nice to have you back. Is one of our network affiliates. If you're listening at 91.1 WSAJ, let us know how things sound. And thank you for being along with us. Typically, we have live youth performances during this hour. And in our next hour, typically we have live music. Because it's an open house day today, we've left those times unscheduled so folks can pop in and say hello. Its doors open Pittsburgh Day, the Saturday Light Brigade. Proud to participate in that. You can join us anytime between now and 4 o'clock. Happy graduation to our friends at Muskingum University. They'll be joining coverage of graduation shortly, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and slbradio.org/radio.
Stand up taller. Could it be that nothing's gonna change when the muscles around my brain start to make me feel it insane? I think it's time to get on the road again. Could it be that I am getting older? Could it be that everything is changing? I look over my body and the lines upon my face, and I think it's time to get on the road again. Oh my Lord, I am the great denier. Oh my Lord, is all my love in vain? Though I shouldn't think of sorrow when I'm standing in the rain, I think it's time to get on. Oh my Lord, believe me, I'm no liar. Oh my Lord, there's no one else to blame. Like a deck of cards at a local bar, I've lost a couple faces, and I think it's time to get on the road again. On the road, I've always got the sun over my head, and the moon ain't been nothing but a long, lonesome friend. When I think all the miles behind the sky that's up ahead, I think it's time to get on the road again. Beside the fire, come on, like a moth into the flame. Oh, my heart commands my lungs and hands, and it beats for what it chases. And I think it's time to get on the road again. I think it's time to get on the road again.
The Brother Brothers with another song called On the Road Again. Can subscribe to our newsletter. Each week you get an original puzzle, plus details about upcoming features that we'll have Saturday mornings, including special open houses like today's, all you need to do, all you need to do is to go to slbradio.org/subscribe. You can enter securely your information, which is your email address and your name, and we'll make sure you receive our newsletter. They come out every Thursday evening. You also can simply send your email address and name to us at slb@slbradio.org.